So it said, excuse me, I'm going to try to get through this. I don't know. It's just before the message, all of a sudden my voice started going. So it said that joy is one of the most prominent themes in the Bible. It says this from the very beginning. God's plan for mankind has been to bring us joy and peace. And he's created the system for that from the very beginning, which was his presence. Now, the Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary, which I found, I think I found it online. Maybe it was one of my programs. Says this about joy. And it reads like a definition of joy. Quote, the experience of deliverance and the anticipation of salvation provide the most significant occasions for rejoicing among the people of God in the Old Testament. The coming of Messiah who delivers his people and brings salvation becomes the basis for rejoicing in the New Testament. The response of joy, gladness, or happiness is not only a deep inward feeling, but is expressed in celebration when God's people gather together, unquote. The experience of deliverance and the anticipation of salvation is really what all of Scripture is about. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had that joy and peace. But with their fall, due to their sin of eating the fruit, they were commanded not to. They lost that joy. They lost their presence before Adonai. And not just for themselves, but for all mankind. Therefore, all of Scripture after that is really just about bringing us back to that joy and that peace, which we can, if we can run the good race right to the very end, not give up, then we'll become eternally joyful. And then we'll have that eternal peace of being before him again. But for now, we have a joy if we choose to see it and take hold of it. Today, let's look at those who should have the joy of Adonai, why they should, how they can have it, and when. Even as the name is who and how that I've named it, Rejoice, Who and How, we'll be looking at more than just that. Our joy is rooted in who God is. It's not fleeting. It's not based on circumstances. Worldly possessions, accomplishments, even the people in our lives are blessings that make us happy, but not truly the joyfulness that we are seeking or talking about today. Even by the definition that I read, I would say that joy actually is a byproduct of what Adonai wants for us. Being in his presence is what he wants for us. And that will bring us everlasting joy. What we have now is a joy that will be surpassed by the joy of eternity before him. But that doesn't mean that today's joy is something to be scoffed at or played down. It is still a gift from him, and the desire of his heart is that we have joy, his love, his presence for us through the Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit. So let's start with who does Scripture say will have joy? The first answer may surprise you. We should know that he wants us to be joyful, but do you know that he rejoices over you? Look at what the prophet Zechariah said in Zephaniah 3:17. Adonai your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will delight over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. Adonai has great joy regarding his creation. When he brings out his people from the midst of trouble, he does not do it begrudgingly, but he does it with joy and singing. He knows the reason that Israel was separated from him and exiled to a foreign land, but when they turned back to him, he danced and he sang with delight. The same God that delighted in the turning back of the Israelites is the God who delights and rejoices over you and your return to him. Now, the more obvious answer is who should rejoice is, of course, those who accept the promise of salvation and eternity with him. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says it multiple times in multiple places in Scripture. But look what he wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 4, 4 through 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. He calls the people of Adonai to rejoice. He knew the scriptures of the Tanakh, meaning Shaul. The Tanakh that called us to rejoice. He knew Psalm 97 that says this, Psalm 97:12. Rejoice in Adonai, you righteous ones, and praise his holy name. Shaul recalled the greatness of Adonai by recalling the words of the Tanakh, which called for those who have a righteousness through Adonai to rejoice and praise him. Shaul knew himself the greatness of Adonai, but he also knew that the scriptures sing out about Adonai's greatness and the reasons for our joy. He knew the writings of the prophet Joel, Joel 2:21. Do not fear, O land, be glad, rejoice, for Adonai has done great things. Shaul also knew the words were not just for those that were there during the time that Joel was prophesizing, but for everyone who is before Adonai at any time. The time to rejoice is when you are before Adonai because he has done great things. Great things for those who he brought back from exile, for those who stand in faith and trust in him. So when it says, do not fear, O land, it is saying, do not fear, people of Adonai. It's also saying, do not fear, O Karen Orr. Rejoice in me, for I have done great things for you before and will do great things again. Not just the people of the Tanakh, not just for the people of Karen Orr, but for all peoples, for all times. This really is a segue into why we should rejoice. It is because we trust in him for what we know he has said that he will do and what he has done in the past. Really, both what we can consider the ancient past and the current past. It is our trust in faith in him that is the cause of our rejoicing. Listen to what Peter wrote in his first letter. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 5. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you didn't see him, you don't see him now, you trust him and are filled with joy that is glorious beyond words, receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We can be happy at times because of what's happening now, but we rejoice over our receiving the salvation of our eternal souls. Peter says that we should have a glorious joy about the coming salvation. This is an act of giving praise and worship to Adonai that leads to joy, even though the trials and tribulations of our day. The acceptance of Messiah Yeshua, as well as the Ruach sent by him, is the deposit for that salvation promise. And that is a great reason to rejoice. But while we wait for the salvation promise to be fulfilled, we are to do what we need to do. That would be to follow Torah in faith. Faith in Torah is also faith in his words. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it, the instructions of Torah help us to follow him righteously. But in our daily lives, it instructs us what to do and who to trust in all of our situations. Look what we're told by King David in Psalm 33. When we're in the battle of our lives, how are we going into that battle? Psalm 33:16. No king is saved by his great army. No warrior is delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor can its great strength save. Behold, the eyes of Adonai are on those who fear him, waiting for his love to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for Adonai. He is our help and our shield. Our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. David had an army, but he knew to wait for Adonai, knowing that his army with horses and chariots alone would not win the battle. But with Adonai, he could not lose. Placing his trust in Adonai caused a rejoicing in him. And I would bet that his army as well. And the same will happen to us, because we have the same God who will defeat armies before us, and that are all about us. We rejoice when we give up the false hope that is a man or even ourselves. When we raise up our hands and surrender to him, he will take the battle over and overcome those enemies. This is the reason that we learn and follow Torah, so that we will know the ways of Adonai and to trust in him in all we do. Listen to Psalm 19 and what it says, starting in Psalm 119:8. Excuse me, not 119, Psalm 19:8. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Adonai are true and altogether righteous. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes by knowing the precepts of Adonai, the words of His, and His mindset is best we can know it, we go from simple to wise. We go from fearful to trusting. We gain joy in our hearts. I believe this is what Romans 5 says. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been made righteous by trusting, we have shalom with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through Him we also have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and boast in the hope of God's glory. Now another version says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This also reminds us of the difference of the hope of the world and the hope that we have in Adonai. It is the knowledge of what we expect from Adonai that should cause us to always be rejoicing and rejoicing with each other. And we should be rejoicing regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in. This is what we're told by Shaul in the first letter to the Corinthians. I think it's the second letter of the Corinthians. Corinthians 6:8. 6:8, starting there. Through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, we are regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as disciplined, yet not put to death, as grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Even as we go through life and its troubled times, we should always be rejoicing. Why? Because we rejoice in the eternal truth and not in our current circumstances, not in our current situations. Shaul says that through all of his grieving, yet he is always rejoicing. Not looking as life's troubles, but past them to the truth of his promise to him, which is ensured by the resurrection of Yeshua. And the deposit is made by the Ruach HaKodesh. So we rejoice when the world cannot see the reason why we should rejoice. But it is up to us to know the reasons and to act on the reason in our lives and our worship towards Him. So we ask ourselves, how do we rejoice in this life? And there are two ways, through attitudes and through actions. Our attitude is to share joy with all. We know that in Judaism, that prayer said in the synagogue are communal prayers and not actually individual prayers, or at least most of them. That's because we carry the burdens of our bad times and sins with the community. But we also joy of the community with all of the community. That is carried from the Tanakh into the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant. When we read this in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Rejoice and weep with those around you. Live in harmony with them. Now, this made me think of what happens when something vibrates. Normally, things around it will also start vibrating. They're living in harmony. We're to live lives that vibrate with others around us. not be separate so that we have no feelings for those near us. 1 Corinthians also gives us this same word in 1 Corinthians 12. In the passage that states that we're all different parts of one body. It also says this, 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part suffers, all parts suffer together. If one part is honored, all the parts rejoice together. So the attitude is that we are one body, and the whole body feels pain and joy all together. The other way to rejoice is through our actions. A couple of verses about this. And the first is Psalm 5. Psalm 5:12 says this, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them always shout to joy. For you will shelter them and they exalt those who love your name." Always shout for joy, we're told. I don't think that means to walk down the sidewalk shouting out. But in the right environment, time of praise and worship, especially. But still, in an orderly way, we shout out to the Lord. During the we sing aloud. Between them, we can give a shout offering to Adonai. We exalt him with a voice raised up high, loud, and strong. I know for some that can sound strange, but listen to what Isaiah 61:10 says. "I will rejoice greatly in Adonai. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adorning herself with jewels." Here we get the reason, but also the way. The Tree of Life says, "my soul," but the New Revised Standard Version says, "my whole being exult in my God." We are to rejoice greatly in Adonai with our whole being, with all that we are. The idea that during praise and worship that we should kind of just be waiting for the message or to limply whisper the praise song does not seem to line up with this. If you have a reason to praise him and to rejoice, then you should allow your outside to show it. It doesn't mean cartwheels down the aisle, but allow yourself to sing out and clap and even to move your feet a little bit at times. We're not to look like people who are defeated during praise and worship. We're not to sound like people who have nothing to be joyful about. Singing is addressed, I believe, in Psalm 71. 71:23. "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you and my soul which you have redeemed." Sing out and shout to the Lord with your lips. Let Adonai know that you are blessed through him by rejoicing with your mouth. This is the encouragement from King Solomon to you. Don't hold back or be shy because of those around you, because they should be doing the same thing. It's not that you are doing something different. It is a voice of joy that we shout to God with because we are in his presence. And one final thing about rejoicing before him. Psalm 47:23. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For Adonai Elyon is awesome, although always awesome seems to fit too. A great king over all the earth. El Elyon, the mighty one, is awesome. During the time of worship, we should feel that we are in the presence of Adonai by the Ruach. It's one of the things we pray about before service. Ruach, reign over this congregation. Fill us, the sanctuary, and the hearts of those who are here and the hearts of those at home watching. Fill us up, Ruach. We are in the presence of Adonai by the Ruach. And therefore, we should show our joy to him. One of the ways is to give a clap offering to Adonai. We're not supposed to be applauding the praise team, but the one being praised. Therefore, it is appropriate to clap during praise and worship if we feel the joy of the Lord. But to clap because the song is over, that just wouldn't be right. We're not supposed to be applauding the praise team for music well done. In the same way, to stay silent if you feel the joy of the Lord also would be wrong. Clapping for the right reasons is to recognize and rejoice in the kingdom of God and his rule and his reign. The scripture also tells us of other ways we rejoice and why we rejoice and what happens, which is the gaining of joy. In John 15, Yeshua says to do this for joy. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Keeping the commandments of the Lord will be the way to our joy and a full joy. Excuse me. Regardless what's before us, if Adonai is there, it's a reason to be joyful. The world sees things of the world before us. But we see more than that. With spiritual eyes, we see Adonai before us. We see the Father before us. The path to him, to the joy for us, is through the commandments. But the instructions of Adonai are not to be a burden to us, but a joy for us to keep. This is what we're told by John in 1 John 5:2. We know that we love God's children by this, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For so many, they believe that the number of instructions are so big that the effort to follow Adonai's instructions are so hard that they cannot be a joy while having to expel so much energy to follow them. Just not the truth. The Torah is not a burden. An example of following Torah that most people think is so hard are the instructions regarding what is food and what is non-food. How many times have you heard people say, "I just could not give up bacon"? How hard is it to not eat shrimp or lobster? There is not one of the food instructions that's hard to keep. If we are not thinking how the world thinks. We were never addicted to the things that Adonai calls not food for us. When we accept that they are not food for us, then we accept that there is so much more that He provides for us. Why do we miss it? We don't, because there are other things that we love and can consume. And finally, a few words about when we are to rejoice with Him. The verse that comes to everyone's mind is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, of course, says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua." His will is for you to rejoice. His will is to give thanks always. His will is for you to pray constantly to Him. The will of God is for us to rejoice, pray, and give always to Adonai, and to do it always. We are to have the joy of Adonai at all times because He offers it to us all the time. Every day, we rejoice in Him. Listen to Psalm 118:24. "This is the day that Adonai has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. What day is this day? Any day you read it, any day you think about it, every day is this day in the Lord. Regardless what's happening that day, it's still the day He made. What are the days? What about the days that it just seems like nothing's going right? Think about what Habakkuk 3:17. "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there's no yield on the vine, though the olive crop fail, and the fields produce no food, the flock is cut off from the fold, and there's no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in Adonai. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." Just because just before this, the prophet tells of a coming calamity because they weren't following Adonai. But he also says that even through it all, every knee should bow before Him. Even though He knew He will go through it, He will rejoice all the days that there is nothing good, because He knows that Adonai is His salvation and that the time of famine will not last forever. Even as we go through our times of the valley experience, we are to praise Him through it all. Yes, We look like it may be. We look like it may be happening to us. All this garbage, all this trouble, sorrows. And then we look at what we can do in the spiritual realm. But through it all, we will praise and rejoice in the salvation of Adonai that He's promised us to come in the end, if we run the good race and we finish it following his instructions. As we approach the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and even Simchat Torah, which has joy in its name, we come into them with a joy not of what is, but what or of what was, but how it will interact with what will be. The promise, and then the completion of the release by the exodus of Israel and all who joined with them, and the promised and repeatedly completed saving as Israel from her enemies, and then even the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah himself. That was his first coming. That was promised in the prophecies. And there is a promise of a second coming. And that should bring joy to us. And these are the reasons we rejoice during these fall feasts. Yes, even during Yom Kippur, when we're a bit more solemn and we afflict ourselves, we look forward to our salvation and pray to Adonai for the salvation of our loved ones so that they too can rejoice for all eternity. When given the opportunity to worship and joy on Shabbat, we don't always want to. I'll admit that. But we don't act on feelings, but on what is due to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In fact, every day, even if we don't feel like rejoicing, we do because he is King, and his promise that he made will without doubt be fulfilled. The things of the day that are only for that day, they don't last forever. He lasts forever. The things of the day that's bothering us, they won't last forever. The promises of the King are promises for all time. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are our King and that your word is true and yes and amen every time. And that brings us joy because your word promised the coming again of Messiah Yeshua. And we understand that the first time he came as salvation for the world, the second time he'll be looking to see if we've walked out our sanctification. Justified us the first time. Are we sanctified the second time? It's only done as we follow your instructions, Adonai. It's only done by our heart attitude and our actions that flow out of that heart attitude. So we say, Ruach HaKodesh, help us. Help us to walk out the right way. Help us to have the right heart attitude. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us to know you in a greater way. Help us to be the joyful people that you want us to be. For the times that our eyes get caught up looking at the left or the right, and our heart attitudes thus slipping a little bit. Ruach, keep our feet on your path, and then help us to see your path more clearly, even through the noise of the world that is showing us things around us that distract us or want to hurt us even. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to be a joyful people, rejoicing always in your promise and in your presence. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.